Welcome to this special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Today's program is brought to you by Spring Valley Assisted Living, Raccoon Valley Bank, Affordable Quality Roofing and Exteriors, and the Dallas County Hospital. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Spring Valley Assisted Living and Raccoon Valley Bank.
Welcome back to the Health and Wealth segments here on Raccoon Valley Radio. We're taking this time to take a look at topics that we want to focus on for our physical and our financial health, focusing on financial health this week. And we're looking at the young, bright minds, the future college students, and how they can finance their post-secondary education. And we've got guidance counselor from Panorama High School, Chris Webner, joining us. So, Chris, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you, James. Good opportunity. Think about some things that we try to communicate all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those big things that coming up is FAFSA. There may be some changes coming up as we look at different educational bills in the state of Iowa as well as in the nation. What should parents and students know, especially if they've never had any experience with the FAFSA before?
Well, if they never had, then they just know that it's been out there this year in October. And, you know, the sooner they can get that done, the sooner their students and they have an ability to sit back and do some shopping when they get those student aid reports back from the varying schools that they may apply to. That tends to be one of the major factors in deciding which school they actually attend. It tells them estimated costs and projected costs and then aid. That used to happen in January for a deadline, and it's moved up sooner. And I think that's been a good thing. I think that's caused less stress on families. They have more time during the senior year to absorb that and get that done than just the spring.
Are there any particular materials that parents need before they complete that FAFSA?
It used to feel like, well, we got to hurry up and get our taxes done in order to fill out that form. Now, they aren't looking for the most recent taxes. They're looking for the year prior. So there isn't a lot of pressure on people to hurry up and get things done. It's just a matter of where did we place our tax returns. And then if they don't recall, the government has a good bridge to your tax information. And when you're filling out the federal application for financial aid, you can request that that information be pulled over from the tax database to the financial aid database, which helps with memories too. You don't have to keep all your paperwork.
Now, some of the parts of that FAFSA package include loans and grants, but there's some other opportunities such as work studies. What do you know about work studies and how they can benefit students?
You can't ask for a better employer than the university or college you're working for is for experience. And when you make money under work study, that money is not accounted against you when you apply next year. It's not going to look like, well, if you earn $3,000 from your university, it's not going to look like you earned an extra $3,000 and then they would just assume that you're going to be able to cough that up as if you had had a gift from someone. If they were to work part-time and earn an extra $3,000, that is wonderful, but then they would expect then in the following year that you'll do the same. So work study is a good one to select. Of course, any grant. Grant just synonymous with free money, so everybody wants to see that. But most of us see the words loan. And the loans, they're wonderful in that you don't have to pay back on them while you're at college. You have a 4 to 6 month grace period, depending on which particular loan it is, which gives you time to get your feet underneath you and start making some money. And we all hope that those loan repayments will have lower, what we consider to be reasonable, interest rates when we pay them back, as opposed to climbing up around 8% on some of them. It's a tough thing for all of us to deal with. I just looked this morning. We're in the top half of the nation for defaults on loans, college loans. So it's a great aid, but it also can be cumbersome. Start your life off with a major debt that you don't necessarily have a guarantee that you're going to be able to earn that the kind of money that you need. In the last few years, I've seen a nice guide that simply shows you how much debt would be appropriate or safe. And they typically say if you think, you know, you're going to start out making so much money after you earn whatever particular degree, maybe $40,000, then taking on $40,000 would probably be safe. But to take on significantly more than that would be not so safe for you to do. So I think that's a helpful guide for people as well.
One particular aspect of that, as we'll wrap up this portion, the difference between subsidized and unsubsidized loans. What do students that are about to go into college, when they look at that FAFSA, what do they want to look for, and which would you recommend that they select?
Well, the student's only going to be able to take so much money, but they'll allow the parents to take unlimited amounts, and those come in different forms. I don't know the particulars of how an interest rate may be affected on a subsidized versus an unsubsidized, but in general, parents need to have a fairly good understanding that if we're not willing to pay or we haven't saved up the money to pay, we're probably going to have to help our child out with the loan, parent plus loan, and legally parents take on that debt as opposed to the student. So it does become a family choice, family conversation about different schools and different programs.
That's all for our first segment on post-secondary educational financing. We'll be back with more on this topic and the health and wealth programs on Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth has been brought to you by Affordable Quality Roofing and Exteriors and the Dallas County Hospital. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Spring Valley Assisted Living and Raccoon Valley Bank.
Welcome back to our Health and Wealth segments on Raccoon Valley Radio. I'm James Martin, sitting down with Panorama High School Guidance Counselor Chris Webner talking about post-secondary educational finance. Now, Chris, dual credit courses have been something that have been coming up and have been getting more and more popular as they've been introduced. What do you want to say to students who are thinking about doing those dual credit courses and how it might benefit them down the road for college financing?
Right. Anytime you can take a college course for free, concurrent enrollment in Iowa helps families not have to pay for college courses their kids can take, and they don't have to pay for the textbook either. Community colleges have done a lot of good work helping high schools understand how to bring those into their building. There's a supplemental waiting process in the state of Iowa, and students can take those online or on a college campus or in their own schools. And, of course, the in your own schools is the most affordable way for high schools to be able to continue to do that. So there's an incentive there. And that incentive for the high school simply would be to hire teachers that have master's degrees as well as educational background. So we have a smaller graduating class, so it fluctuates. But 8 to 9 kids out of 10 here will take at least one college course in one of those three ways before graduating from here. And it's a great way for them to explore, to supplement the curriculum that we're able to give. And then their confidence is higher. Hey, I did well in a college course, and getting more fired up and more serious about going to college seems to happen. It might surprise you, but sometimes high school students' attendance is questionable, and their attendance seems to be better when they know college credits are connected to a course. And I think the graduation rates for students that take college courses during high school are higher, and anything we can do to help college graduation rates improve in the country and state of Iowa, like concurrent enrollment, is a good thing.
Going back to the college sector now, we see a lot of students being pushed maybe into the 4-year colleges or universities, while the vocational schools and the 2-year colleges are getting a little bit of a rise. Do you think overall that the 4-year educational mindset is worth it for the majority of students when we look at how much it's going to cost them at the end of their experience?
There are so many factors that go into play there. You know, value is intrinsic to all of us, so the numbers are all over the place. Getting back to the graduation rates, the 6-year graduation, so it should take 4 years, but you look at those people 6 years out, and the dropout rate for people not earning their 4-year degree or their 2-year degree, you lump them in there too, is really much higher. We're talking 40 to 60% of the students not graduating given the institution they go to in Iowa, which is hard to accept. It's an individualized process. As far as lifelong earnings, the 4-year degree, they're going to look higher than the 2-year degree. But inside of that, the 2-year degree, there are a lot of folks that are earning more money after a 2-year degree, especially in the technical areas, that there is a gap in Iowa and in the country as manufacturing makes a comeback, which is wonderful. And they need more folks. And the technical degrees, those salaries are wonderful. And the opportunities there, and the incentives that are coming out. In the last few years, it's just been like a kid in a candy store to share with kids. The visitors that I get, unexpected, stop in the office and say, hey, I know you're not in our area, but here's what we're doing. And some of these things involve mandatory internships in the second year of a technical program where they're getting paid. Can you imagine when you and I are getting our bachelor's degrees, if we had a mandatory paid internship? There are companies that will give scholarships for tuition for technical degrees. there's a recruiting process going on. There, I had a young man in here the other day that said, you know, there's just so many options for me. Even though we've got a healthy amount of technical courses in our building, we certainly can't replicate because of the equipment and the what all is involved, all the choices that are out there. And he's very happy on one hand that he's got so many wonderful things to do, be it a trade school, one of our community colleges in Iowa, be it an internship. You know, there are some businesses even in our small area where there are local employers saying, hey, I would like to give you a job while you go to school to train you to come work for me full-time when you're done, regardless of the degree you get at college. And then you have apprenticeships in not too far away in Des Moines, where students are able to get a liberal arts degree as they are trained in a technical trade during an apprenticeship. And, of course, they're getting paid the whole time they do that, and then getting a two-year liberal arts degree for free. So there are wonderful options for anyone interested or willing to consider the trades and technical math, science, electronics, anything that we make or need fixed or install. So hearing all that, you might think, well, it's not worth it to go to a four-year school. But because of computerization, and I think, you know, last month I read a Forbes article about someone that earned a theatrical degree. Didn't work out so well. But because of the training and the background and the articulation and the writing, there was a tech company that blogs, and they gobbled this person up, and they've really helped that tech company grow as far as, you know, with their readers online. So I would hate to discourage anyone from getting a four-year degree. At the same time, I think we've had in the past this thought that, well, that's really the only game in town. I know when I was younger, it was very hard to get into a union apprenticeship. You had to know somebody, and you might have to wait around. Well, those folks are saying, hey, people are retiring now. So I just think overall, I hope instead of people feeling pressured or unsure, they just say, hey, I can shop around. I've got a lot of good choices.
That's all for our second segment here on Postsecondary Educational Finance. We'll be back with our third and final segment next on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network's Health and Wealth Programs.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth has been brought to you by Affordable Quality Roofing and Exteriors and the Dallas County Hospital. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Spring Valley Assisted Living and Raccoon Valley Bank.
Welcome back to our Health and Wealth segments on Raccoon Valley Radio. I'm James Martin, sitting down with Panorama High School Guidance Counselor Chris Webner talking about post-secondary educational finance. Now, Chris, we left off with the benefits and maybe the disadvantages, financially speaking, of four-year institutions versus two-year institutions, community colleges, trade schools, that sort of thing. Have you seen a trend one way or the other in students going to four-year institutions or two-year institutions?
Last year's graduating class, dang near 15% of our students went right into a full-time occupation for a trade, whether that be an internship or an apprenticeship. That's a huge increase from anything we've seen in the past. I think we'd only had a couple, maybe one or two per year, be able to get in a company that would train them like that. So there's been a big uptick in that. And I think that's directly related to those companies recruiting high school teachers and high school students to consider them as an option and then turning around and hiring them. There is not a bridge to the apprenticeships or the internships in business the way there's a bridge to colleges. You and I, when we were thinking about going to a college, you probably visited with several reps when you were in high school, as did I. And then there was an application process, and there's a communication that happens before you graduate. But when you apply for a industrial or a company's internship or apprenticeship, often you're told, we can show you maybe this or that on a tour, but you cannot apply until you have a high school diploma in hand and you're 18. You know, some of these folks are acting on a little bit of faith that, yes, they're telling you they will hire you, but I don't really feel connected to a stepping stone to after high school. And I still think that connection, that bridge to something beyond, is very helpful. I hope companies will be able to help families bridge from the uncertainties and insecurities of a late junior, full senior year, the way colleges are able to do that now.
Lastly, going back a little bit to the financial aid there, any outside scholarships or grant programs that you know about that even area students, of course this goes out to Dallas, Guthrie, and Greene counties, that anyone in this West Central Iowa area can take advantage of?
We're pretty fortunate in our community. There's a long history of the local community groups doing fundraisers and wanting to give monies to kids. We're also fortunate here in the Panorama School District, there's been people who, when they pass away, they will say to an organization, hey, please take our money and, you know, off the interest, give scholarships each year. And so about the time it looks like one family's pot of money has been all spent up, and that was wonderful, and now these kids aren't going to have any, we've had other families step up and do that. So this community has been very fortunate, very giving that way. The scholarships in general from the two-year schools, the trade schools, and some of the companies now, for example, Van Wall has a scholarship as a company. They'll pay for your tuition to go learn how to be a technician. So some of those types of scholarships are becoming more plentiful, which is great. And then, of course, there's always the companies that send out, you know, it might appear to be more of an advertising strategy for them, but they do get people thinking about scholarships, and you never know. So there are some tools out there the state encourages. FastWeb is one that a lot of kids will do, but honestly, most of our kids get the bulk of their scholarships from the college they're going to. And that was part of the recruiting process, right? They're applying to several. They're early in the senior year and then finding out in the winter and spring, you know, what's that going to look financially once I get scholarships from these different colleges? And then the local groups here that give scholarships. So Panorama is very lucky that way, but I doubt we're unique. Most communities try to help out the young people that way.
Chris, anything else about finances and the college experience?
Just that things are changing. The lines between high school and college are becoming blurred. And I think that's a good thing in general. Trying to get two different organizations to work together with their schedules and different calendars and that kind of thing can be a challenge for the people involved, the students, the families, and there's a lot of transportation costs there for families. Panorama certainly can't afford to, you know, I've had students take college coursework in Carroll and Waukee, the Apex system, the Carroll DMAC campus for the second year of Auto Techmotive. To Perry, they've got the nice Van Kirk Center. Guthrie Center's got some classes. Every once in a while, they'll send a student our way for college coursework. So we can't afford to send all those out, and then the families absorb that cost. But they're usually glad they did, because then they found out younger in life, hey, I do like this, or this isn't quite, I thought I wanted to be a CNA, but now I don't. But I'm going to finish it out because, you know, the part-time salary as a certified nursing assistant's wonderful. I'll work on that while I'm going to do something else. It just, in general, these opportunities help people make choices sooner, because we both know until you do something, you don't know for sure. It's all theoretical. And hopefully that'll continue. I think it will. When I listen to the apprenticeships at a federal and a state level being plugged and that money's going there and there's more talk about that, that'll help too. For kids to find out, yes, I can go experience some of that in high school, whether it be just for a day, a workshop, or a college course.
Fabulous. All great things about financial aid and college experiences for high school juniors and seniors. So that's Chris Webner from the Panorama School District. He's the guidance counselor here. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, James.
And for the health and wealth segments on Raccoon Valley Radio, this has been James Martins.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth has been brought to you by Affordable Quality Roofing and Exteriors and the Dallas County Hospital. Thank you for tuning in to our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Today's program has been brought to you by Spring Valley Assisted Living, Raccoon Valley Bank, Affordable Quality Roofing and Exteriors, and the Dallas County Hospital.